All right, the power of words, power of words. I was watching this documentary this past week on Netflix, and it's a documentary about obsessive, compulsive, controlling parents of athletic kids. And so it followed four parents and their children. Their children were all very good. Now, there was actually a twin, so one, a mom, had these twins. And these were kids that had great athletic ability. And one was, the youngest was like 8. She was a phenomenal golfer. But most of them were like 13, 14, 15. I was amazed at what those parents said to their kids. Some of the most startling, dumbfounding, hurtful, cutting, embarrassing things that could ever be said, they said to those kids. And it's all on film. I mean, you're watching an hour and a half of this. And I was like, I cannot, do these parents not know that they're being recorded? And of course they did. And that was 4 out of the 5 parents were that way. Now, there was this one lady who had these twin boys who were tennis players, and she was also obsessive, compulsive, and controlling, but she did not tear her kids up. In fact, she built them up. As you watch the other 4 kids, they would be just torn up and embarrassed because of what their parents were saying to them. These 2, they would also be embarrassed, but it was because of all the praise she was heaping on them. They're like, oh, mom, just stop, that kind of thing. I think all of us have seen and have experienced the power of words in our life when somebody said something that really built us up right at the moment. And then we've also all been in that place where somebody said something that absolutely tore us apart. Words have power, amen? Amen. Words have incredible power. And I want you to consider this big idea for the message. Your words have creative power. They're creating something. And when we speak God's word, it creates something as well. But the words that come out of our mouth do create something. They create an environment. They create impact in people's life, good or bad. And you are where you are today because of words that people spoke over you. Or words that you've come into agreement that God has spoken over you. Words that you consciously or subconsciously agree with that the devil has said about you. It's been passed down to you. We're going to get to this point, or these 2 points in a minute, but just for you to capture it right now, if you're taking notes, the words you believe will define who you are. That is, and your fruitfulness in life, they'll define it. And secondly, the words you confess will determine where you'll go eternally, where you will go with relationships, where you will go in your future. The words you confess. I want us to focus, this passage is the key passage for today, maybe for the whole series. But boy, look at that passage, folks. Just read that. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Life and death are in the power of the tongue. And this morning, we're going to look at words about how God has spoken, Jesus, Satan, others, and then what we have spoken to ourselves. The power of words, it all begins right here with the words from God himself. Genesis chapter 1, the earth was formless, it was void, some translations say it was chaotic, it was in disorder, and then you see these words, then God said, say that with me, then God said, and what did he say? Let there be whatever, okay. Let there be. He spoke it. He could have just thought it. He could have taken his scepter and hit the ground with it. He could have twirled his hand in the air and go, whoo, and got it. But what did he do? He spoke it. And what did his words do? It says the world was chaotic. It was without form. It was in disarray. And when he spoke, what happened? It brought order. And days 5 and 6, those words brought life. Now you think about that with me. Words that brought order, words that brought life. And that's what our words should do. Amen? They should bring order and life to chaos, to darkness, to things that are out of order. Your words either bring order and life, or they can bring chaos and death. They can bring hope, they can bring joy, they can bring confidence, or they can bring fear, and they can bring destruction, and they can bring immense hurt and frustration to people's lives. It's interesting, in Genesis 1:27, God says, let us make man, what, in our own, what, image. Let us make man in our own image. And what is part of that image of God is that we can speak and create things. Just as he spoke and created things, when we speak his will, when we speak his will, we can create things. We'll get to that in the days ahead. The words of God, the words of Jesus. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. I think most of us know it. John 1, 1 through 4. In the beginning was the what? The what? Word. The Word. The Word. Many people see Jesus also being referred to in Proverbs as wisdom. If you read through the early parts of Proverbs, it talks about wisdom speaking. Many people say, well, that's Jesus. That was, again, word, wisdom. What are those? It's words that come out. And you think about Jesus' life. Wherever he went, he spoke, and he said in John chapter 6, my words are what? They are spirit, and they are life. And that's what his words did. They brought life to things. They animated things. They brought order to disorder. He spoke, and people were healed. He spoke, and demons were released out of people's lives. He spoke, and it changed things. And he says, look, my words, if you'll have an open heart, if your heart will be open, when my words go into you, they will do what? They'll bring about immense change in your life. His words are spirit and life. Peter, one day, Jesus said some very controversial things. In fact, many of his disciples, it says some of his disciples left, not the 12, but other disciples left. And then Jesus looked at the rest of his disciples and he said, are you guys leaving too? And Peter responded, what? No, because in your words, you have the message of life. And that's what Jesus' words do. They bring life to everything they touch. His words inspire. Amen? His words inspire. They inspire some people to follow him, and they inspire some people to kill him. His words cut. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. The word of God is living. It's active. And boy, we saw it in the life of Jesus. And even today, that word is living and active. And I'm telling you, those Muslim nations, when they hear that word, they say no. Because that word divides. It cuts. It reveals truth to us. It convicts us of our sins. His words bring peace, they bring direction, they bring correction, they bring instruction, they bring hope, they bring wisdom. His words, when heeded, shape our destiny. The words of Jesus, the words of God, the words of Satan. How did he deceive Adam and Eve? With what? Words. Did God really say? He deceived them with words, and he continues to deceive the world with words. His name, devil. Devil. What does devil mean? The word itself means accuser, slanderer, defamer. What do all of those things have in common? Using words to destroy people. Here's the thing, folks. The devil can't just randomly kill you. If he could do that, we'd all be dead, right? But he can destroy you, try to destroy you with his words and get you into agreement with what he says about you. He is the accuser. He wants you to take upon his attitude, his accusatory spirit, his grumbling, his negativity, his ingratitude. If he can't kill you, then he'll say, I will try to make you like me. I said this a couple of weeks ago. I think we're no more like God than when we give and when we give freely. I think that's when we're most like God. And I believe this, we're most like the devil when we're living in negativity and accusation and anger. Because that's what he is. He is an accuser, one who speaks to destroy people. He wants us to take upon his attitude. His words, here's the thing, his words sound just like our voice. And those words have no effect on us until we come into an agreement with it and say, okay, that's true. He wants to keep you from living out your destiny in the Father. He wants you to keep you from knowing the Father's unconditional love and his love for you as a dearly enjoyed child. He wants to keep that from you. So he just says stuff, you're awful, you're terrible, look. So when something bad happens to you, what's the chatter that goes on in the back of your mind? What is it that you hear? Why did that happen? Why does this always have to happen to me? Why can't things just work out? Why is it always so bad? And boy, all that chatter, has its origin from the evil one. As Jeff said so eloquently a moment ago, friend, when you look at hardship and difficulty, there's some that say, you know what, it's hard, it's bad, but I can see God in the middle of it. And then there are others of us when it's hard and bad, we just say, it's awful, it's terrible, God, where are you? And we get into this accusatory attitude. And we live in that negativity. Where do you think that comes from? Where's that origin point? The words of Satan. And I'm telling you, just the other day, here I am. I was so upset about a relationship that was in my life, and nobody you know, so don't go there with me. But just, you know, bad, bad place. And for about a week, I'm in this bad place thinking about this thing. I'm so mad, I'm so upset. Finally, I told Stephanie about it. And she was dropping me off over here one morning as I was coming here to work. She dropped me off, and it was just boom on me like that. I'm walking here, trying to study, and then suddenly, boom, it's gone. Like, hey, what just happened there? The words of Satan. She took authority over it. I'd confess it was wrong. Now, you got to do that. I confess I'm not in a good place. She prayed. She broke it. She broke it. I was thinking about your situation, Cliff, you know. We're talking about that. An airman in early January that I was ministering to, I'm telling you, he came in to see me, and he said, Chap, I'm in a bad spot. I can't go into all the details, but he was in a bad spot. Bad spot. And I said, okay, we're going to take authority right now because I believe it's the devil trying to get you off track and do some bad things in your life. So I began to pray, got finished with the prayer time, and I sensed the presence of the Holy Spirit. I said, you feel anything? What? Oh, man, something happened here. I don't know what happened, but something happened, he said. Didn't see him for another 3 weeks. Went to the drill the end of January. Ran into him and said, how you doing? He said, Chaplain, I'm changed. Those words of Satan, they've got power. What about words that come out of your mouth? Words that come out of your mouth, these two things. The words you believe, that is, the words you're fully persuaded by will define who you are. The words that your family spoke over you. The words important people said. Even the words of random people that you've come into agreement with, good or bad, whatever. Things you've read, things you've heard, be it from God or the enemy, those things that have been sown into your life, they eventually define who you are as a person. This is why it is so important to know the Word of God. And to know it both here, but more importantly, to know it here. To let it make that transference from here into your heart, into your spirit, so that it permeates. Let me tell you, the key to the Christian life In fact, I looked, I said, okay, Scott, you're going to say the key to the Christian life. Have you ever said that before? So I Googled that in my desktop. Have I ever said the key to the Christian? I said, yeah, okay, I did say it one other time. I know that. And I've said this, the key to living in the kingdom is to be a kid, is to be a child. But it fits exactly with what I'm about to say here. Okay, you say, Pastor, what is the most important thing above everything else that I can do to grow in my faith? The key to the Christian life, right here. Your entire maturity as a follower of Jesus centers around one key thing. The renewal of your mind. That is it. Friend, if you don't get anything else, get that. Get your mind renewed. The reason I say that is because of what Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living sacrifice, holy sacrifice, and that He will find acceptable. That is truly the way you worship Him. So it is. I submit myself completely. I give you my body. I give you everything that I have. I give it to you. So that's the key. But then he goes on to say, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. How? By changing the way you think. Let me tell you, you are where you are today because of what's happening up here. What is coming out of your mouth is what's been in your brain. It's what's been in your heart. I mean, that's exactly what Jesus says. He says, when you're changing things, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. Amen? And that's not just God's will for like a particular situation. Should I buy this? Should I go here? Yes, that's it. But it's God's will for you all the time. That He loves me. I'm enjoyed by God. I am forgiven. I've got a home in heaven. It's living out that will. It happens by the renewal of your mind. That is the key. What words are you putting in your mind? Is it God's words, or are you letting the words of the enemy supplant those? Let's go to the next thing. Then Alyssa's going to come up here and speak for a few minutes. The words of your mouth. Excuse me, I'll go back here. The words you confess will determine where you will go. They will determine where you will go eternally. Listen to what Romans chapter 10 says. I think most of you know it. This is the message that's close, very close at hand. Yes, it's even on your lips and it's in your heart. And this is the message, the very message about faith we preach. If we openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised Him from the dead, we will be saved. For it is by believing in our hearts that we are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you're saved. We declare with what? With our mouth, with our words. He's my Lord. Luke chapter 12, there on the screen. Read it with me. I tell you the truth, everyone who acknowledges me, how are you accepted? You're accepted by God by what? By acknowledging, by speaking it. Eternally, your words, relationally, your words will impact. If you're back in, did y'all turn to Proverbs 18? Did I tell you to turn to Proverbs 18? Woohoo, Proverbs 18. You want something that's going to stomp on your feet. Proverbs 18. Well, they all will, but Proverbs 18, man, oh man. Proverbs 18. Your words will determine where you'll go relationally with people. Look what he says. Fool's words get them into quarrels. They are asking for a beating. Have you ever known anybody like that? They're always saying the wrong things, always at odds with people. Look at verse 7. The mouths of fools are their ruin. They trap themselves with their lips. Verse 13. Spouting off before listening to the facts is both shameful and foolish. Ooh, yeah, that's true. I can personally attest to that one right there, okay? Verse 19. Ooh, this one's good. An offended friend Somebody who's been offended because of words is harder to win back than a fortified city. Arguments separate friends like a gate locked with bars. Again, words, the power of words. Verse 20, wise words satisfy like a good meal. Amen. The right words bring satisfaction. So there we see the positive sign. And then verse 21, we looked at earlier, the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Then verse 22, it doesn't seem to fit, but I'm gonna make it fit, okay? The man who finds a wife finds a treasure, and he receives favor from the Lord. Your marriage is a reflection of your words. Your marriage is a reflection of your words. The words that come out of your mouth, friend, they are building material, and they're building something. The words that have been spoken to you are building something as well. And either they're going to build something that's beautiful, that's lasting, that will stand the test of time, or those words will build something that is smelly, stinky, and is repulsive. Ephesians chapter 5, I want you to listen to this. Men, listen especially. For husbands, this means you love your wives just as Christ loved the church and he gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing or washed by water with the word. He did this. He washed her with water by his words. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any blemish. She is holy. She is without fault. How did Jesus make his bride beautiful? How does he make his bride beautiful? By revealing his words to us. And how do we make our wives and our spouses beautiful? By what comes out of our mouth. They're either clean or they're dirty. Can I hear an amen?
Ooh, amen.
I got more to say on that, but I want Alyssa to come on up at this time, and she's going to talk about the words of others.
Good morning. Recently, the Lord has called me to step out in a few areas, and my reaction to that wasn't maybe as gung-ho as you may even think that it would have been. But whenever I began to look at why I was backing off and why I didn't want to and why he was saying go, and normally when he says go, I'm like, okay. And instead I was going, mm-mm. As I began to look at the root of all of those things and figure out the lies that I was believing that were keeping me in that place, I realized that it was fear. And I was like, where did that come from? And I saw that it was words that had been spoken over me, spoken to me, words that I had taken, and I had taken these people and I had given them a ton of space in my head that I shouldn't have given over. Check out this verse behind me. It's Isaiah 43, verse 1. It says, "But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you, says, 'Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine.'" It is the Lord that calls us. It is the Lord that says who we are. It is the Lord that says, not only is this your name, but what I love about this verse is the meaning of that by name. If you look it up, it talks about how this word, the definition, I guess, of that is a name or title, a mark or memorial of individuality, by implication, honor, authority and character. So when the Lord calls you by name, he is also giving you the authority and giving you the character. And that's repeated again when it says that he has given you everything you need for all life and godliness. And one of the things that the Lord began to teach me was that when I had given over all that space, that I needed to set some healthier boundaries with what words I allowed to set in my mind. See, this is our foundation. This is, like, if we're going to build one of those two, like off of one of those two pictures that Scott showed, if we're going to build that castle or that shack, what is your foundation? This needs to be our foundation. His character builds it, but this is our foundation. It is the fact that he has called us, and he has given us everything that we need to make that calling happen. It is both who we are as, like, you know, who he is in us and our mark of individuality. So if that is our foundation, we have people that build with us on that foundation. We have people that are, like, in it with us, right? Like, they are getting their hands dirty with you. And whenever you accidentally start to build on maybe, you know, something else that someone else built, like, they're ready to be like, hey, like, I don't know about that. Can we tear that down and maybe come over here? And those are the people that you go to when shame takes hold. Those are the people that you go to whenever you're not sure what to do next. Those are the people that believe in you. They see what the Lord is doing in you. And not only that, they're going to help you get there. Those people have a say. Those are the people that we go to. And then there's people that kind of like to put a couch out in front of where you're building. I actually had a friend that did that. A friend of mine, they were building a house, and her dad put a couch out in front, and he would sit there and watch. He would sit there and watch them build. Now, he was actually like, he was a contractor, like he had some say. But that's the picture that I keep getting in this thing, is like, there are people that come by and they just kind of like to comment. They just kind of like to talk about it. And sometimes what they say is like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. That's beautiful. Like, you're doing such a great job. And sometimes what they say is, ew, why would you do that? Why would you make that decision? Why would you build right there? Are you sure about that? What about this? Or what about that? And either way, I cannot live and die by what people say about me. That's what Paul calls being tossed by the wind. When I take those words and I give them authority by sitting on them in my mind, by letting things that people have said about me, to me, behind my back, whatever, it doesn't matter. You guys, I'm even talking about, like, I'm just going to get real personal here. I'm even talking about, like, doctors. You know? Like, all kinds of people. It's not just people that you think of. I mean, I'm not just talking about people that pick on you. I'm talking about, like, people that actually, like, have some say. And yet we take their words and we give them a ton of authority. And those words aren't building on this. They're not building on what he has called us. They're not building there. And so that boundary line that I've had to make is one between those people that are building with me. They are in it with me. They see this in me, and they want that for me. And people who are just walking by, passing in and out. And here's the thing, like, I don't want you to get me wrong, because sometimes what people say is very encouraging. And you should let it encourage you. And sometimes they might have a good idea. And sometimes they really do see something that's wrong. But the thing is, before I can let that take root in my mind, I need to at least take it to these people over here. and make sure that what I'm about to settle on is actually something that deserves to be settled on. Because these people over here are the ones that are going to take what maybe felt critical or maybe what felt like a super high because of how awesome it was, they're going to take it and they're going to help me put it in perspective and put action to the words. It's so important that we allow the Lord to be the one who has called us. We allow him to be the one who has qualified us. And we do not allow the words of others to build those things for us.
There we go. Now I'm really on. Okay. Proverbs 12:18. Some people make cutting words, but the words of the wise bring healing. Proverbs 15:1. A gentle answer deflects anger. Again, words. It deflects, but harsh words make tempers flare. Proverbs 21. Watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut, and you will stay out of trouble. How many of you know the guy or the gal at work who quite literally is probably smarter than the supervisor, maybe even smarter and has better insight than the CEO of the company, but instead they're being supervised or they have that mid-level position, even though they're smarter? And I'm not being sarcastic. I mean, like, literally, they are smarter. But they don't get the better position because of their words. Your words will determine how far you go in life. What you say will impact your future. Words. We're going to be looking at this over the next several weeks. I want you, if you would, bow your heads. Going back to the big idea, your words have creative power. Your words have creative power. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what kind of words are coming out of my mouth? Because those are not random words. They're words, as Jesus said, that come out of your heart. What kind of words are coming out of my mouth? And then second question, what kind of words am I coming into an agreement with, as Alyssa talked about, from other people? Who is speaking? Who am I giving space to? Positively and negatively. Would you at this moment, would you commit yourself and give the Holy Spirit freedom to convict you when those negative words start rolling out of your mouth? Say, I am laying my words, Holy Spirit, down at your feet. Convict me. And then secondly, pray, reveal to me when I come into agreement with words that are out of agreement with the Word. Lord, we want our words to reflect the Word. To bring that our words would be like the words of Jesus. They would bring spirit and life to everyone that those words are directed at. We pray this in Jesus' name. Let's stand together. If you need prayer, I will be down front along with Jeff, and we would love to pray with you at the end of the service. There may be some of you here that you have almost word curses. I would say that word curses that have been spoken over you. And by that I mean it's just there's a way of thinking that you've gotten yourself into that just continues to roll around in your mind. Negative thinking. It's like you never can break that cycle. And it may be because a word curse is spoken over you. If that's you, you want prayer, I'm going to be down here and I'll pray for you. And this will be something we can do ongoing. It doesn't have to happen today if you got to get out of here. All right, receive this blessing, these words, okay? These are words. These are good words. It's a benediction. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement, amen, and gave us good hope, may he encourage your hearts today and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Amen. God bless you.